Hello, everybody. How's it going? Welcome back to my podcast. It's been a couple weeks since I've podcasted, and I want to apologize for that. I've just been super busy with school and work and interning that I just haven't had the time to write any content and record it all. So for that, I apologize. But I just wanted to record today, especially after hearing the news of the tragedy that struck the MLB today with Jose Fernandez's death. I don't know, I just felt really inspired to podcast today to kind of honor him and kind of talk about the impact that he had in baseball today. It's one of the main points I want to talk about today, and I actually don't really have a lot of stuff written down because I wasn't really planning to podcast. I just kind of felt inspired in a way, so this podcast is probably going to be a bit shorter than usual, maybe about half as long as they usually are, and I kind of want to try that out anyways and see how the shorter length podcasts go. I don't know if that'll capture your guys' attention more or what, but it's something new that I want to try out, and we'll see how that works. So, virtually any of you who watch baseball, I'm sure, have heard about the news, the tragic news of Jose Fernandez, a pitcher for the Marlins, passing away this morning after being killed in a boating accident. His boat was found around, I want to say, 3:15 in the morning, and him along with two other people that he was with were found dead on the scene. So I just wanted to start this off first and foremost by saying rest in peace to all those that were unfortunately killed in this accident, and my prayers go out to them and their families, because not only did Jose Fernandez, not only did his family lose a loved one, but those two other people that died, they have families and friends too that are mourning and grieving their loss as well. So prayers go out to all of them. But I want to talk about Jose Fernandez and the impact that he has on baseball, because he's one of the more prolific pitchers in the game. He's one of the best in the league right now, and he honestly could have been one of the best pitchers of all time if his career wasn't cut so tragically short. This year he was 16-8, had a 2.86 ERA, 253 strikeouts in 182 and a third innings, excuse me. And he was a Cy Young Award candidate for this year, and who knows, he still has a chance to win posthumously, so we'll see how that goes. But I want to say his impact on the game of baseball stretches beyond what he can do on the mound. What I'm more impressed with, and I'm sure what many people will remember him for even more so than his pitching and his one-of-a-kind arm, is his personality as a whole. You can say he's a great baseball player, but I guarantee you everyone will say he's an even better person. And anyone who watched him could see this. He had a personality that life was bigger than baseball, and baseball was what everyone says it is. It's just a game. And you can clearly tell although he took it seriously, he had a wonderful time playing it. He was so passionate about the game by the way he would goof off with the media and with his teammates and the other players, the fire he had on the mound, the emotion he showed, the laughter, the just the cheering in the dugout. You could tell he was a fan of the game as well as a true professional. So the game will miss him in that regard. There aren't too many players like that. As a baseball player, you're mostly thought of to not show emotion. It's better to not show your emotion and don't let things get to you when things aren't going your way. So in that regard, too, it was nice to see how you could tell how passionate he was about the game, and just how much joy he brought to not only fans, but his teammates and coaches and family and friends as well. I don't even necessarily know where else I want to go with this. I just, as a baseball fan in general, I've played baseball my whole life, and I've grown up watching baseball my whole life, and unfortunately I didn't really get a chance to see Jose Fernandez throw too often, but whenever I was able to watch him throw, whether it be against the Giants or whether it be him on live television, I always enjoyed watching him. He's always one of my favorite pitchers to watch, just because of the passion he showed when he was on the mound. And he, Don Mattingly said in his press conference today, which was a really emotional press conference, and I recommend you watch it if you haven't already. He said he's just a big kid, and how he played, or little leaguers should play the game of baseball the way that Jose Fernandez played it. And I totally agree with that. And I got that feeling whenever I saw him on the mound. It was just, I don't know, you could just tell he loved baseball and he loved life. So it was always fun watching him pitch, and I'm going to miss not being able to see him pitch ever again. It's crazy how fast life can come at you, and you never really expect this to happen. Doesn't happen too often to major league athletes. Most recently, I think it was Oscar Tabarez from the St. Louis Cardinals who died in a car accident in the Dominican Republic. But whenever it does happen, it certainly shocks the community, especially with a player as talented and as well-liked and respected as Jose Fernandez was amongst his peers. I just saw news about it everywhere, whether it be from diehard baseball fans or from casual baseball fans, or from people who don't even like baseball at all, but just appreciate what he brought to the game of baseball and to sports as a whole. It was really hard, a hard way to start the day. I remember, I actually saw it, someone, my coach from my club baseball team actually posted it on our club baseball page, and he said, he just posted a picture and said, RIP Jose Fernandez. I thought maybe maybe he got hurt and he's out for the rest of the year or something like that. He had another serious injury, because we all play fantasy baseball together. We're all in a league together. So I don't know. I thought maybe it affected someone in our league if he got injured. And then I was just like, maybe I'm just going to see what happened to him, just to, I don't know, because I'm curious. And then I looked and I saw, and I was just in disbelief. You never expect to find out that such a popular athlete has been killed, especially at the age of 24. He's still just a kid, only a couple years older than me. And I don't know, it's just, it's crazy. It's sad. As a baseball fan, I don't really know how to process it. I didn't know Jose Fernandez personally, so, and I know a lot of us didn't, but we all feel saddened by his loss, and I feel sad, especially for his family and his friends and his loved ones, because of how much joy he brought them. I was watching a piece earlier today about how he defected from Cuba, and it took him 3 or 4 tries to get into Mexico, and from there he flew into the U.S. and he's been here ever since. But it just talked about his struggles with trying to defect from Cuba, and how when he was on the boat ride trying to defect, someone fell overboard, and Jose Fernandez right away, he just jumped into the water, didn't know who it was who fell off the boat. He just heard someone fell off, so he jumped in the water in the middle of the night trying to find them. And fortunately, he did find them, and it ended up being his mom. But if that doesn't say enough about him, I don't know what will. And I also saw another piece on him about his relationship with his grandma and how close he was to her, and how since coming to the U.S. he hasn't been able to see her, and they were interviewing him about his relationship with her, and he's telling the interviewer all the great things about his grandma and how she helped him and how strong of a lady she is and everything. And then the interviewer asked him, what does he think she would say if she were here right now to see him? And he was just like, I don't think she would be here. I don't think she could be here. And then next thing you know, they brought his grandma out, and just the happiness and emotion on each of their faces really shows how important they are in each other's lives. And it was really touching to see. Every piece I saw on Jose Fernandez is really inspiring, and it's absolutely tragic that his life was cut short. He could have definitely been one of the best pitchers ever, and not only that, but one of the best players in general from a personality standpoint. And it just sucks. It absolutely sucks that he had to go. You never wish death upon anybody, no athlete, no person in general. It's just hard. So rest in peace to Jose Fernandez. You were definitely an inspiration to baseball fans across the country and to many people in general. And I hope more kids aspire to play the game like you did. So thank you for all you did for the game of baseball. And I think now I'm going to switch some gears to, I want to say more positive news, but definitely not as emotional, not as heartening as this news. But in other baseball news, the Dodgers, they clinched the West today with a win over the Rockies. They beat them 4-3 on a walk-off home run by Charlie Culberson, and they clinched the win with that, the West with that win. And I thought one thing they did that was really nice was they all honored Vince Scully, who broadcasts his last game ever from Dodger Stadium. I don't know if he's going to broadcast in the playoffs or not, but his last regular season broadcast from Dodger Stadium nonetheless. I'm unsure if he'll broadcast at AT&T Park when the Dodgers play the Giants to end the year. But I thought what the players did for Vin Scully was really nice. When they went up to bat today, they all tipped their cap to him just to honor him, and he gave them a nice little wave, a salute back, and I thought that was really cool to see. I'm not a Dodgers fan by any means. I really don't like the Dodgers at all, but to see them honor an icon like Vin Scully was very nice, and I would expect nothing less. Vin Scully he's the GOAT. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they'll change the Ford C. Frick Award winner or award to the Vin Scully Award. Who knows? He was that legendary, and he could literally paint a picture for you if you're listening to the game of baseball on the radio, if you're just listening to the game in general. He could really paint a nice picture for anyone who listened to him. So yeah, rough news for the Giants, who held a 7-game lead at one point over the Dodgers in the regular season, and just a abysmal second half. It just keeps going in a downward spiral, and you know, when you can't sustain a lead, this is what happens. The Dodgers, I believe the lead's up to 8 now, and I think there's only 6 games remaining. But despite how poorly the second half has gone for the Giants, they are still in the thick of things, as weird as it sounds. Obviously, they can't win the division because the Dodgers clinched, but they still have hopes for a wild card berth. Right now, they currently hold the second seed. There, the Mets hold the first seed. They beat the Phillies today 17-0, which broke the tie for the between them and the Giants for the first wild card seed. So they're in first place all alone. The Giants today, they lost 4-3 to the Padres, and they lost arguably their best hitter as of late in Eduardo Nunez. He left with a hamstring injury, I believe. And they fell to 82-74 on the year. Ty Block got his first start of his career today, and he went, I think he went 4 innings, gave up 2 runs, gave up quite a few hits and quite a few walks, so you can tell the nerves got to him, and obviously, why wouldn't they? He's making his first ever big league start, and it wasn't pretty, wasn't bad, but he definitely has a spot on the Giants roster in the future. So with that loss today, they fall a game behind the Mets, but they still hold on to the second wild card seed. The Cardinals, they're in third now. They lost today to the Cubs 3-1, and with that, they fell one game, or they still remain one game behind the Giants for that second wild card spot. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. The Cardinals aren't playing particularly well. The Giants, they haven't been playing particularly well for the entire second half. Ever since the All-Star break, they've just been playing horrible. And even lately, they had a chance to go 4 up on the Cardinals in that series last week against them. And they blew a lead in one game, and then they lost the next, and next thing you know, they're only a game ahead of them, and that's how it's been pretty much ever since. It's been between a tie or one game separation, so we will see how this last week of the season will shape up, how these last 6 games will go between the Mets, the Cardinals, and the Giants, how it shapes up, and all you need to do is be... You just need to be one of the top 2 of those 3 teams. That's all you need to do. And you're in. But I think the second half has not been kind to the Giants by any means. So, of course, in true Giants fashion, it's going to come down right to the wire. We'll see if they can muscle up and put together a little streak in these last 6 games and pull it out. Who knows, though? I'm not the most optimistic in them, as I'm sure every other Giants fan is. They haven't really given us a lot to be optimistic about lately. I don't know what it is. The players seem injured, like nothing's really flying off the bat. There's no pop, no offense whatsoever. Their bullpen is shaky as ever. They can't close out games. But somehow they could find themselves in the playoff position, and you never know what's going to happen in October. It's all about getting hot at the right time. The Giants haven't been hot at all since June, end of May or June, and you never know. Things can spark up again, and if they find themselves in the wild card game in a couple weeks, who knows? Though they could make the wild card game, and they could blow it in the ninth, like we're so accustomed to seeing, and could be going home after one wild card game. Or who knows, they could miss out on the playoffs altogether, or they could come alive and put together a nice run in October. You just never know with baseball. It always seems like the team that should win or is supposed to win never wins, and the team that shouldn't or miraculously got there finds a way to put together a tough run, and we'll see how it goes this year in the playoffs. The AL wildcard race is also pretty tight at the moment. In the American League wildcard race, the Tigers, who are 83-72, are a game and a half back of Baltimore, who's 85-71 for the second wild card spot, and then Toronto is 86-69. They're a game and a half in front of the Orioles, so they're three games ahead of the Tigers. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes up. That race could be anyone's, either of those three teams. So we have some really tight races coming down the stretch here to end the season. And I know I'm going to be paying attention as close as ever, especially to the National League race. I am really intrigued to see how these playoffs will shape out, who's going to get in, who's going to go on a big run, and just who will ultimately win the World Series. If the Cubs can put something together, they have the best record in baseball. They're playing a phenomenal season like was expected of them. They're expected to put together a really great season, be one of the better teams. I don't know if anyone expected them to be quite as great as they are, but they were expected to be one of the better teams, and they put together a hell of a season so far. So who knows? Will their curse be over soon? Only time will tell. That's pretty much all I have for baseball right now. I'm going to switch gears a little bit because it is football season, and I've yet to been able to talk about the NFL season. I believe last time I talked, it was right in the thick of Colin Kaepernick's protest that has since captured the attention of other players, and they've even more players have started protesting in respect to Colin Kaepernick and to the tragic news that continues to happen in our country, and just everything that's going on. More players have come in and protested alongside Colin Kaepernick, and I believe that's where I left off, was in the preseason when he first started his protest, and when it was just starting to become a news outbreak. So I haven't actually talked about the NFL season at all yet. And I guess I should start this off by saying the 49ers looked absolutely horrendous today. Again, for the second week in a row. This time they lost to the Seahawks 37-18. Gabbert was a mere 14 for 29, throwing for 119 yards, one touchdown, and had one interception. The lone bright spot today for the 49ers, I would say, is Carlos Hyde. Rushed 21 times for 103 yards, and he had two touchdowns on the day. Only his second career 100-yard rushing game. The first one came in week one of last season, and we all know he battled injuries throughout the rest of the season. And so it's nice to see him healthy this year. He's been a bright spot for the Niners. There haven't been many on the offensive end for the 49ers. Gabbert has just not looked very good. The offense in general hasn't been very good. They have no playmakers. They're lining up at the receiving end. They have Quentin Patton, Torrey Smith, who's arguably one of their only options. They have Torrey Smith. They have Jeremy Curley, he's a good return man, and he's had a couple solid plays, but I don't think he's a NFL starter by any means. And then they have Quentin Patton, who hasn't really put anything together. So they don't have a lot of options there on the offensive end. And just the play calling, really makes me scratch my head. They, of course, run on first down every time in true 49ers fashion. And they fail to throw the ball more than 3 to 4 yards downfield at a time, it seems like. Even when it's, let's say, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, they'll opt to throw a 2 or 3 yard pass, expecting the receiver to run the rest of the way, or the tight end to run the rest of the way and pick up the first down. And shocking enough, it never works, but yet they continue to keep up that play calling and run that type of offense, and it's worked to no avail so far. So we'll see if they actually decide to switch things up. I don't know if it's Gabbert that's opting to do these passes. I don't know if it's the offensive coordinator who's giving him the play calls, if it's Chip Kelly. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know if Gabbert's just not seeing anything downfield. I don't know what it is, but they need to stretch the field a little more because they are not expanding it by any means, and it's not working. Shocker, if you don't throw it past the first down marker, more often than not, you're not going to get a first down. Who would have known? I don't know. it was just a tough game in general. Blaine Gabbert, he's not a starting quarterback. I'm almost certain we'll see Colin Kaepernick sometime in the near future if the 49ers continue playing the way they have these last couple of games. Of course, they had that one really nice game against the Rams, but much like the first week of last season against the Vikings, when I believe they beat them 20-3, kind of have to take that with a grain of salt, and that's what I've done, at least as a Niners fan. I thought, all right, they had a pretty nice game in week one last year, and then it all went downhill. I kind of want to wait a few weeks before I say, oh, wow, Niners are actually pretty good. And here we are a couple weeks later, and they look like who we expected them to be. They can't get any stops on defense. They fail to stretch the field on offense. They run these dinky screen passes and 3-yard slant routes and can't pick up a first down to save their lives. For Seattle, though, they are able to stretch the field. They will throw it downfield. They're able to expand the field. Russell Wilson went 15-23 today, threw for 243 yards and a touchdown. Christine Michael, the running back for the Seahawks, now that Marshawn Lynch is gone, he rushed 20 times for 106 yards and 2 touchdowns. Thomas Rawls didn't suit up today. He's injured. So Michael had a good game on the offensive end for the Seahawks. Doug Baldwin, former Stanford wide receiver, pulled in 8 receptions. He had 164 yards and 1 touchdown. So he had a career high for receiving yards today. He made an absolutely incredible catch on, I think it was like 3rd and 14, where he just fully extended, dove for the ball, and caught it with one hand. It was a really nice play, as frustrating as it was to watch as a Niners fan. And Jimmy Graham, who has struggled ever since coming to Seattle, him and Russell Wilson just haven't clicked like him and Drew Brees did back in New Orleans. He had 6 receptions for 100 yards and a touchdown today. I think that was like his second 100-yard game in the last like 2 seasons or something like that. He hasn't been like the Jimmy Graham of old that really tormented the league and was really difficult for a lot of defenses to cover. That was a nice, promising game from him. Not really much else that needs to be said about that game, so I'm going to shift gears a little bit. Raiders, they pulled out a win against the Titans in Tennessee. They beat them 17-10, and that game really came down to the wire. The Titans, Mariota threw a ball in the end zone to Andre Johnson for what looked like to be a game-tying grab, but he was called for offensive PI, so brought it back, and then they tried again, I think a couple plays later. Mariota on 4th down threw it in the end zone, and very close play. It was an incomplete pass, very close, could have been called pass interference. I'm kind of glad it wasn't, though. It didn't really look like to me there was enough contact there to be considered pass interference. So very close game for the Raiders, and very stressful if you're a Raiders fan, but they were able to pull it out, and they moved to 2-1 on the year. Carr went 21-35 on the day, threw 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Michael Crabtree, the former 49er, he had 8 receptions for 102 yards, so he had a really nice game, and Amari Cooper had 4 receptions for 62 yards, and he had a very nice game as well. So very promising game for the Raiders' top options on the offensive end. And they're able to pull out the win. I think some of the biggest surprises, I want to talk a bit about what games really surprised me today, and that was the Bills beating the Cardinals 33-18, and then also the Vikings beating the Panthers 22-10, and the Eagles beating the Steelers 34-3, and Carson Wentz, he's put together a really impressive rookie campaign so far in the year. People were really curious to see how his season was going to go. I was curious because he came from a subdivision D1 school. He played in the FCS for North Dakota State, and so I was curious just to see how well his game would translate from playing in the FCS as opposed to the FBS. And so far, we transitioned nicely. He threw today 23-31, had 301 yards and 2 touchdowns. I believe he has 5 touchdowns on the season. He has no interceptions yet, so he's had a really good, nice start to his season, and it's impressive that the Eagles were able to hold the Steelers to only 3 points. Of course, Antonio Brown, he did his thing. He had 12 receptions for 140 yards, but the Eagles were able to keep him out of the end zone. So that was huge on their part, and they held D'Angelo Williams to, I want to say, about like 21 rushing yards. So, impressive start for the Eagles this season. They're 3-0. Only a handful of teams that are 3-0 so far this year. It's been an interesting start to the NFL season. Some rookies that are impressing me are, unfortunately, for the Cowboys. I'm not a Cowboys fan at all, by any means. I mean, I'm pretty sure you all know that I'm a Niners fan, but I respect greatness. I respect athletes that play well, and so far for Dallas, Dak Prescott, he looks like he's the real deal so far. He's had a nice start to his rookie season. Last time I checked at least, he had 1 throwing touchdown and 1 rushing touchdown. I believe that's his second or third rushing touchdown so far this season, and his first throwing touchdown of his career. And Ezekiel Elliott, the back out of Ohio State, he's up over 100 yards. I think he had like 120 or 140 yards so far this game, which is incredible. So the two rookies getting it done for Dallas, they were all over the Bears last time I saw. I think it was 31-14 or 31-17, something like that. Maybe 34-17. I don't know. I haven't checked. I just wanted to look and see what they were doing, because I heard they were having impressive games. At least they were when I was watching. So I just want to talk a little bit about some rookies that are impressing me, a little bit about the NFL season so far. Shout out to my fantasy football teams so far. I'm undefeated in both of them. We'll see how well that lasts. But so far, it's been a good start for me personally in fantasy football. I don't know. I feel like I'm bragging, but that's pretty much all I got today. Like I said, it was a shorter podcast. It actually has exceeded my expectations for how long it is. I didn't envision it going longer than, let's say, 20, 25 minutes, and here I am at almost 35 minutes right now, still talking. So I just want to end this by I guess ending on another somber note. We lost a couple phenomenal athletes. One who could have been a legend in Major League Baseball, a legend in his sport, if his life was not cut tragically short. And then we have lost a legend in golfer Arnold Palmer, who is not only famous for the Arnold Palmer drink, the iced tea and lemonade drink, but also for his success and his impact on the game of golf as a whole. He sadly passed away today at the age of 87, and he In his career, he won 7 majors, including 4 Masters. He's one of only 3 people to do that. And beyond that, his impact on the game of golf was truly remarkable and something that will never be forgotten. He's a legend, an icon in his respective sport. He lived a full life, and he really made golf entertaining. I'm not the biggest golf fan. I don't watch a ton of golf, but I know he's an inspiration to many people that I do know that watch golf. They all are inspired by Arnold Palmer, and he really, really advanced the game of golf and really made it interesting and intriguing to watch. So, really tough day for sports fans in general. Like I said, this has been kind of a somber sounding podcast, but one I really felt inspired to record nonetheless, because life is short, and I don't want to take this time for granted and wonder one day what, even if I'm stressed and I just kind of want to relax and not really do anything, wonder, well, what if I actually took that time when I was relaxing playing video games and put it to something more productive that I also enjoy doing, like podcasting. So here I am recording this podcast. I apologize if it seems really unorganized and isn't quite like my other ones, but I enjoyed recording this nonetheless. I don't know if that sounds weird or not, considering the circumstances, but I really enjoyed recording this. It really felt nice to podcast once again. It's been a few weeks, and I hope I can continue to feel inspired. I believe I will. I believe I will. I just read a book for one of my classes that also was a reason behind recording this podcast. It really inspired me, and I recommend that if anyone wants a short book to read that's uplifting and inspiring, definitely check out the book Steal Like an Artist. I had to read it for my senior seminar class. I read it in a few days, and I actually really enjoyed reading it, and it actually really inspired me to record this podcast again. So that's pretty much all I have now. Like I said, I apologize if it was unorganized or seemed kind of somber, but I really, really enjoyed recording this podcast, and I really hope to be more on top of it. I'm going to try to be more on top of it and record more regularly. Let me know what you guys think, if I should go for shorter podcasts, because that's what I was trying to do for this one. It ended up being almost 40 minutes long. Let me know if there's any content you want me to include in my future podcasts, if there's a specific length you like, if you'd rather me do 10, 20-minute podcasts, 15-minute podcasts, or continue this trend of doing 45-minute podcasts. I haven't really had any input. I haven't really been interactive, so I'm going to try and do more of that with all you listeners, aka my friends and my family. But yeah, thank you all to anyone who decides to check this podcast out, if you get this far, and yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it, and I'll see you next time.